Well, good evening, everyone. Welcome to Believer City Church's Wednesday Night Rewind. And right now, we're going to take another look at our message from Sunday morning. For those of you who were there, it was great to be with you, great to visit with you all. Chelsea and I will be headed back to the Philippines tomorrow morning, where we will finally be able to warm up. But we are in Ecclesiastes chapter 12. Let me read this chapter, and then I'll pray, and we'll dig into it. Starting in verse 1, it says, "Remember now your Creator in the days of your youth, before the difficult days come, and the years draw near when you say, 'I have no pleasure in them.' Well, the sun and the light, the moon and the stars, and they are not darkened, and the clouds do not return after the rain. In the day when the keepers of the house tremble, and the strong men bow down, when the grinders cease because they are few. And those that look through the windows, they grow dim. When the doors are shut in the streets, and the sound of grinding is low, when one rises up at the sound of a bird, and all the daughters of music are brought low. Also, they are afraid of height, and of terror in the way, when the almond tree blossoms, and the grasshopper is a burden, and desire fails. For a man goes to his eternal home, and the mourners go about the streets. Remember your Creator, before the silver cord is loosed, or the golden bowl is broken, or the pitcher is shattered at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the well. Then the dust will return to the earth as it was, and the spirit will return to God who gave it. Vanity of vanities, says the preacher, all is vanity. Moreover, because the preacher was wise, he still taught the people knowledge. Yes, he pondered and he sought out and he set in order many proverbs. The preacher sought to find acceptable words, and what was written was upright, words of truth. The words of the wise are like goads, and the words of scholars are like well-driven nails given by one shepherd. And further, my son, be admonished by these, of making many books there is no end, and much study is wearisome to the flesh. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God, keep his commandments. This is man's all. For God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether good or evil." God, I pray now that as we take a look at your word, that you would be with those of us who are here, that you would help us to understand it, and when it's hard to understand, give us wisdom, give us knowledge, and once we understand it, give us the faith to believe it, and give us the courage to live it out. Help us to be people that truly are reflecting your truth. Amen. Okay, on Sunday, I was using the illustration of these dead-end streets, you know, the ways that people go, that they're so prone to go down, believing the empty promises, believing that they're going to find fulfillment and hoping to find satisfaction at the end of them. And the imagery of this, you can kind of chase and really see it. But before we get started, I think that it's important that we have a word of warning to each one of us. I find it interesting that there's many times where I can look at other people's lives, and it's easy to identify when there's other people that are going down those dead-end roads that don't go anywhere, those empty streets, those foolish decisions. And sometimes we might even point them out. We take notice of it. We'll grow frustrated with their foolish pursuits. And the reality is, all the while, we ourselves are going down some empty street of our own. And then we fail to recognize it. And I explained how there were these many, many aimless pursuits that King Solomon attempted to go down. Okay, and many of them were all too familiar to us. And he found, finally, his final acknowledgement was that all of those things failed to give him what he was looking for. They did not provide ultimate satisfaction. He just could not find what he needed. And how many of us have spent year after year after year of our lives chasing after these things, seeking fulfillment, and we find it doesn't satisfy. We get the job, it's not enough. We have the relationship, it's not enough. It doesn't ultimately satisfy our desire. We go down these dead-end streets, and it's like you're hitting your head against the wall in frustration. Okay, now we believe, and I'm sure that if you're taking the time to listen to this, you agree with me, that it's only God that's going to provide lasting, eternal satisfaction. Okay, it's only God that's going to do that. But the reality of our lives, yours and mine, many times fail to be aligned with what we claim to believe. But thankfully, that doesn't need to be the case. Thankfully, that the story doesn't end with these empty, dissatisfying streets, one pursuit in our lives after the other, nothing satisfying. No, we see that there is one pursuit in our lives, one street, one way to go that will satisfy, that will provide exactly what each and every one of us is in desperate need of. And I didn't really talk about it too much on Sunday, but the reason why going God's way rather than your own is actually going to satisfy, the reason that pursuing His path in life, not your own path, fulfills, is because all along that path is the very presence of God. Okay, the desperate need that we have, this longing that we have, is filled by, and those empty promises, this emptiness, is replaced not just by some different lifestyle and kind of some new plans, but it's replaced by a real relationship with the God who created you. In Jeremiah chapter 9, it says that we shouldn't boast in our wisdom. Okay, we shouldn't brag about our riches. It says we shouldn't boast about our strength. It says, but only boast that you actually know God. Okay, knowing God, that's worth boasting about. And in John chapter 17, verse 3, it says, this is life. This is life. This is what life's all about. It says, that people may know you, speaking of God, the one only true God, and Jesus Christ, who you have sent. Okay, so this one path that fulfills, that satisfies our longings, it's really not because where the final destination is at the end of that road. Okay, but instead, it's who you're on the road with. Okay, instead, it's because you have the best travel companion that you could hope for. You meet God there. You know Jesus there. You love Jesus there. And when that happens, when you're going along life with Him, everything changes. Everything changes. And we talked about that. In our chapter for tonight, I think there's kind of six simple things that we see and six things that I addressed on Sunday. And I just want to take a couple minutes to remind you of each one of them. And the first thing we see is this reminder to remember God. Okay, first we see remember God. And if you recall, I explained how this idea of remembering God encompasses so much more than just some simple mental recollection, right? I said it's not like taking a test in school. It's not just some facts. It's not just some empty knowledge that doesn't change anything. It has to actually include thought, yes, but also action, commitment, devotion. So an accurate remembering of God, an accurate remembrance of God as our Creator, necessitates deep commitment. It requires it. It's not optional. A lot of people remember that God exists. Okay, they remember, yep, God's up there. But it doesn't really seem to matter in the depths of who they are. It doesn't really seem to matter in the way that they live. It has no real directing impact. It doesn't change the decisions they make. Doesn't change how they live. Doesn't change how they treat people. It does nothing for them. So we're supposed to remember God. And then that's number one. Number two, we see that we're supposed to do it while we're young, right? We talked about this. Do it before it's too late. Do it before you find that you're less capable, less strong, less able to take the risks, to take the opportunities, to do whatever it is that God has before you right now, because we need to understand the opportunities won't always be there. And our ability to answer that call won't always be there. Okay, life is short. It's not going to last. Time keeps ticking on. And it's like people are unwilling to embrace that fact that life is passing them by. They think they have endless time. They think, well, I'll get around to it later. Endless opportunity, but it's a lie. Okay, you need to recognize, you need to understand that this life that you have, this life that you have before you today is so very precious. It's a gift from God. And to throw it away, to waste portions of your life, that's an insult to the God who created you. Okay, let's remember him, let's serve him, let's sacrifice to him, and let's do it now. Let's not wait, let's not put it off, because if we do, we're going to regret it. And then we have this reminder after this, after we're told to remember God and do it while we're young. Number three is, because everything else is empty. In verse 8, we have this reminder. Everything else is vanity. Everything else doesn't matter. Everything else won't be enough. Okay, and hopefully we come to understand this, not just in our minds intellectually, but to the depths of our heart at a level where we just won't allow ourselves to waste the days that we've been given. That we won't allow ourselves to continue on these dead-end streets looking for things that we know aren't going to give us what we need. That we know, in the end, have no real eternal significance. And after he tells us that everything else is empty, he reminds us that these words, the words of truth, the word of Scripture, is wise and right. He says these words, they're right, they're true, you can count on them. And he tells us that that's true even when we don't feel like it. Because if you remember, God's words, although they're true, many times will and really should feel like goads. And I explained what those were. They're these sharp, sticking, painful, really, instruments used to guide and direct animals back in biblical times. Okay, you're going one way, you're not supposed to go that way, so we'll get you back the way you're supposed to go. They're meant to force us to abandon the way that we thought was right, the way we planned to go, and instead align our lives with the truth that God has graciously given to us. Okay, and when we fail to embrace him because it's painful and, well, I don't like that, it only comes at a cost to ourselves. The reality is, if God's words don't direct you, if they don't guide you, they're not having the impact they're meant to have. Okay, if they land on your life and they fail to change your trajectory, you're not allowing them to have their intended impact. So ask yourself, when was the last time that the word of God felt like a nail? Remember the nail? The well-driven, well-placed nail piercing into your heart? When was the last time that the word of God felt like that? And you recognized it was true. So you couldn't easily get rid of it. You couldn't rid yourself of that truth. And then you have to ask, when that happened, did you sit there in your pain and just think, this is terrible, I don't like this? Or did you actually repent? Did you change? Did you align your heart, align your mind, and align your actions with the truth that God gave to you? And after that, we come to really the grand conclusion. Number five was, fear God and keep his commandments. Solomon, writing this, kind of ends by saying, here's the conclusion of everything. Here's the whole matter of it all. And he says, the whole duty of man, the purpose of our life, is to fear God and to keep his commandments. There's so many people, they say, well, what's the meaning of life? What's the purpose of life? And right here in Ecclesiastes 12, God told us what it is. Okay, Jesus explained to us in the Gospels, he said that if we really love him, if we know him, if we love him, if we trust him, we're going to actually do what he says. We will obey his words. Well, it seems like there are so many Christians today, they say, well, I love Jesus. Yeah, I love Jesus. But they can't bother to get around to doing what he said to do. Okay, they refuse to live their life aligned with the truth of Scripture. They can't seem to commit. They can't seem to sacrifice. They can't offer the service to the degree, to the level that Jesus says is fitting of someone that says that they follow him, that someone says that they love him. Okay, the Bible tells us that we can approach God with confidence. We can approach God with love, like a child coming to his father. But nowhere in the Bible does it indicate that this love that God has for us, and this love that we should have for God as his children, negates that it takes away the very real reality that we should have fear of God. Okay, that he's a fearful God, that his holiness, his power, his intellect, everything about him is beyond us. If you remember, I said on Sunday that the biblical God, the true God of the Bible, not the one that we've created in our minds, but who Scripture reveals him to be, is a God who could, if he desired, crush us with no effort. And I said that the Bible also tells us that you and I, we would deserve it. We would deserve it. Okay, when we have this fear of God, it keeps us from taking him for granted. It keeps us from living with this kind of lazy and all too often and all too common apathetic attitude that it seems like most American Christians seem to live in. It keeps us engaged. It keeps us moving forward. And it keeps us actually pursuing his presence, being near him. And he really ended, number six, our final point there is, why does this matter? Why fear him? Why keep his commandments? Why go his way? Well, because there's going to come a day, there's going to come a time when judgment is coming. Okay, he ends it with this stark reminder, God's watching. He will judge how we live. We will answer for the life that God gives us. And when I think of that, I can't help but think of Jesus' teaching on the parable of the talents. You're probably familiar with the story. Jesus tells his listeners, here's the story. Here's this tale of a wealthy man, this wealthy master. And he had three servants. Okay, and before he went off on his journey, before going out of town, the master entrusted his wealth, his talents, to these three servants. And the first one, he gave five talents. Okay, this was quite the sum of silver at the time. He gave to the second two talents, and then to the third, he just gave one. And the first servant, he was eager, he was diligent, and he invested his five talents. He put them to work, and he doubled them. Well, then the second one was inspired. He worked hard, just as hard as the first, and he turned his two talents into four. But the third servant, he was fearful of losing what he had. So he just dug a hole, threw it in there, buried it, and got nothing. While the master returned, Jesus explains, he calls them to account. He says, okay, now it's time to judge. How'd you do? How'd you do with what I left you? Well, the first two servants, they kind of come back to the master, and they proudly present to him their gains. Look what we did. Look what we've accomplished. And the master praises them. He says, well done, good and faithful servants. You've been faithful over a little, I'm going to give you more. Well, then the third one, when he returns, the master rebukes him. He calls him lazy. He takes the talent and he gives it to the first servant. And he says, to those who have, more will be given. But from those who have not, even what they have will be taken. Can you get the idea? God's given us this life. He's given us this life. Are we going to use it how we should? Are we going to invest it? Are we going to live it all for him? Are we going to go his way? Or are we going to put that off? Are we just going to throw it away? Not use it? I want to end by resharing this quote that I already told you on Sunday, and it's by J.C. Ryle. And he said, tomorrow is the devil's day. Tomorrow is the devil's day. But he says, today is God's. Satan doesn't care how spiritual your intentions are or how holy your resolutions, if only they're determined to be done tomorrow. Okay, guys, we need to get to it. We need to get to work. Satan loves empty promises of great things that you'll do later. He's not intimidated by that. And God's not satisfied by promise of things that you'll do for him in the future. No, we actually need to step up. We need to go all in today. And I said it on Sunday, look around. Look at the opportunities around you. Look at the work that needs to be done. This world needs Christ. There's so much work to be done. We don't have any time to waste. Okay, so Ecclesiastes chapter 12, let's hear the wake-up call to be careful that we don't waste our life, that we don't let it just pass us by. But instead, we want to live large. We want to live with courage. We want to embrace the radical nature of the call of Christ that we as a church recognize as what's necessary. But are we living it out? Do we live with purpose? Do we live with passion? And here's the thing that we all know. God's worth it. He's worth that passion. He's worth living with a radical pursuit of him. Okay, God's worth it. And you know it. But let's actually live it out. Let's actually live it out. Let's not waste this precious life that he has given to us. That's the message of Ecclesiastes. There's only one way to find satisfaction. And once you find it, go all in. Don't wait. Don't waste a minute.